My name is Varanya Chaubey and I'm speaking with Brigadier Shahadat Hussain Chaudhary. Today is February 17th, 2009. Firstly, I want to thank you for participating in this interview.
You're most welcome.
I'd like to begin by asking you a little bit about your personal background. So would you describe the position that you hold now?
I'm Brigadier General Shahadat Hussain Chaudhary, as you said. I've been here from Bangladesh Army on deputation to Bangladesh Election Commission as National Project Director, which is responsible for preparation of electoral roll with photographs. And I've been working with this organization since August 2007.
Would you describe how you became involved in this elections-related work?
As I said, that once Bangladesh Election Commission has conceived of a project for preparation of electoral roll with photographs, then they made a requisition to Bangladesh Army through proper channel, and then I have been posted here on deputation to take care of this project.
So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Bangladesh's new voter registration process with the photo roll. Would you describe what were the bodies involved in creating this new list?
As you understand, that Bangladesh Election Commission is responsible for preparation of electoral roll. So that's the main player. And they thought that this enormous task can be assigned to Bangladesh Armed Forces, particularly Bangladesh Army, to support Bangladesh Election Commission. Besides the civil administration, they were also involved in it, and non-government organizations, our donor partners, then civil society, and local government institution representatives, all of them were involved in this process.
When you began this process and this project was conceived, would you describe some of the challenges that you faced?
As a matter of fact, country like Bangladesh, to go about preparation of the electoral roll with photographs, and that to an electronic measure to collect these informations, I would say the very idea, the conceiving such idea, is a big challenge for a country like Bangladesh. You see, you have to take care of the state of the literacy rate, and then technical know-how of the people, and then the equipments which are likely to be used for this process, and the very solution itself was not available. So I would say that right in the beginning, these were the major challenges. In the beginning, and then I can tell you later stage that what are the other challenges that we faced while we had been implementing this.
So would you describe a little bit about how the technical expertise for this project was provided and what sort of technology was used?
Basically, Bangladesh Army took the lead in this regard. We have a handful of officers, those who are IT qualified. So they had browsed in internet and then contacted the worldwide IT specialists, those who were available in the country or outside. So they conceived this idea of going ahead about the collection of the information electronically.
And then were there a number of companies that offered to take on the project? How did they select the right technology?
That's right. Initially, there were a good number of offers Bangladesh Election Commission received from various national or international organizations. Then, but then they heard maybe all the presentations, and finally the presentations which was made by Bangladesh Army was accepted.
And would you describe the kinds of technology that were actually used during the registration process this time?
Technology means we have some softwares which was developed, and then through this software we tried to register. We have used laptops, we have used webcam, fingerprint scanner, and all these equipments were used for registration.
Now, you mentioned one of the challenges at the beginning was finding people with the kind of technical know-how needed to operate all this equipment. So would you describe a little bit your staff and manpower requirements and how you went about fulfilling those?
It was really a very big challenge because we didn't have a database of the data entry operators. So what Bangladesh Army has done, they have made a circulation of all those who know a little bit about the, you know, operation of the computers. So they conducted exams and picked up the operators, and then they were trained. And this is how actually we had picked up the data entry operators. Besides, Bangladesh Army has a good number of, you know, IT qualified officers and even soldiers who were deeply involved in it. So as regards the total manpower, as a matter of fact, we trained more than 100,000 civilian data entry operators from all over the country, plus we have about 10,000 operators from the Bangladesh Army.
And how were the enumerators chosen to go about and reach voters?
The selection of the enumerators, actually there is a traditional process. Normally they are chosen from different institutions, educational institutions, I mean the schools, madrasas and the colleges. The teachers are normally they are the data entry enumerators, and this is an age-old process of you know, picking up the school teachers for this purpose.
Now, would you describe the process of registration itself briefly, and how this particular procedure was selected?
Previously, we had only data enumerators. They used to visit each and every household and they used to make the list. That was our previous practice. But since this time, it had to be collected electronically. Therefore, we had different steps for this collection of the data. The first was like the age-old process of the data enumerators going door-to-door and filling up the forms with the help of the voters. At times, they assisted the voters. At times, the educated ones, they used to fill up their own forms. Next is the data enumerators. They used to carry the forms with them, and on a particular date, the voters used to come to a registration centers where data enumerators were with the forms. So they used to pick up their forms, and their identity was also validated by the local government institution representatives. Then the voters used to appear before data entry operators, where the data entry operators used to enter the data from the forms. As I explained before, they used to take the photograph, they used to take the fingerprint and signature. So with everything, the data entry operation was done. Thereafter, all data were collected, and then it was checked, proofreading was done, and then a draft list was prepared that they have carried to household again for checking whether there is any errors or not. So once it is finalized, then they had gone for printing the draft voter list, which was displayed for about 15 days to receive whether anybody has any objections as regards their presence in the voter list, or if there is any correction which is needed. So once this process was over, then final voter list was prepared. This is how we prepared the photo voter list.
And why was this method chosen, to first have the enumerators go to people's houses and then bring people into registration centers?
Actually, possibly that was the best process that could be identified. That was thought of to be the best process. Maybe that's the reason.
I'd like to ask a little bit about reaching out to voters. it's sometimes difficult to reach out to certain communities, and I'd like to know if any provisions were made to reach out to women, and if there were any challenges in particular to registering women.
A very good question. Since, as I told you, that the data enumerators, they visited door to door, so the whole household was covered in this, whether it is a male or female, whether it is in a particular community, minority or whatever. So no special measure was taken to reach people of any gender or any community. So this is one. Yes, we faced some challenges, particularly as regards the women who are religious minded, who is to wear hijabs and all. We overcame this process through a motivation campaign that was done through our religious teachers, those who are available in the villages. So through them, a campaign was done to motivate people. And that is how actually people from all walks of life, including the women wearing the hijabs and all, they were also motivated.
And were there special women staff to take the photos of women? How did that work at the center?
That's right. First of all, we had the data enumerators. There also we included the male and female both. And in each team, actually, a male and female was there. So that the particularly the women who are little religious mind, so they were taken care of. Next is data entry operators. We also picked up and trained some of the female data entry operators to take care of the women who are religious minded and they used to wear the hijabs and all.
Now, Bangladesh has some difficult terrain, so would you describe some of the challenges of reaching geographically remote communities and how you overcame them?
To give you an example of such places, as you were saying, like we have Chittagong hill tracts where it is very difficult to reach. So to reach in those areas, we have used Air Force helicopters to reach the data entry operators as well as the data entry operators, and also to mobilize our different logistics which were needed. We had some islands where we used the Bangladesh Navy and Coast Guard resources, and manpower from the Bangladesh Navy was used for registering in those areas. Besides, we have some areas, we call it house, marshy areas, where in some of the areas where it was difficult to reach during the monsoon, some of the areas it was difficult to reach during the summer. So we tried to plan in a way that whenever the terrain was favorable for mobilization, so we have used that time for the registration.
And did you run camps once the army, the Air Force or the Navy reached one of these islands or hill tracts? Were there camps conducted, 2-3 day camps, or how did
people? Yes, camping was done from different place to place to take care of this aspect.
And was the equipment sent there with them as well?
That's right, equipments were carried to those areas.
And I don't know if you know off the top of your head, what were the challenges of taking the equipment out there and registering people in those
situations? It was a very big challenge because you see the kind of equipments that we used also needed electricity, and in those areas electricity was also not available, so we had to carry the generators also for this purpose. So mobilizing huge resources was a very big challenge, particularly to hard to reach areas. So we used, as I said, helicopters, we used the naval speed boats and other resources, and we have in some of the areas we used just human being as porters. So this is how we had gone to each and every corner of Bangladesh.
Now, there are some migrant communities that are never in one place for very long. Were there any special provisions to deal with such communities?
Actually, no special provision was made. However, anybody who was residing in a particular area for some time, maybe even for a week, they were taken care of. So the people, those who are, of that nature, this migrating from one place to the other, they were also taken care of.
Some countries have had problems with multiple registration, underage registration, or foreigners registering. Would you describe the challenges of that nature faced here and how they were overcome?
Very interesting question, because this multiple registration was a common practice in Bangladesh before. There are a lot of instances that the people were registered in more than two places even. So this was a very big challenge to take care of this aspect. First of all, we tried to make an awareness campaign so that people do not attempt to go for the multiple registration. And some punitive measures were also there legally so that people do not go for the multiple registration. Yet we have found some cases where people tried to do the multiple registration, but that was, identified. And that was identified basically by the software that we are using. So we have automatic fingerprint, matcher through which we, take care of this aspect. Once the software is ready, once we collect the data, so we run matching software in order to detect the multiple registration. So this is how we prevented the multiple registration. Second issue is of the foreigner. So basically, since the enumerators, they visited door to door, actually no foreigner was registered that way. And your third question was?
Underage.
Yes, this is also a very crucial problem, I would say, because normally those who were not having any certificates, educational certificates, it was very difficult to take care of these underage voters. But visually, if anybody was considered to be less than 18, so they were not registered. That was authenticated by the local government institution representatives that he is underage. This is how we took care of all these issues.
Now, you mentioned educational certificates. Were there any other documents people were required to present in order to register?
Yes, they were required to produce the birth and death certificate, particularly those who are qualified standard 10. In Bangladesh, we called it secondary school certificate. So they had to produce their secondary school certificate in order to prove their age. And beside that, people produce their passports or birth and death registration certificates or, marriage registration certificates, whichever is applicable.
And are there communities that don't live in fixed addresses or permanent homes and have no documents, shanty towns and so on? And if so, what was done to take care of them?
Bangladesh election, since there is a good number of people, those who are, of this type, as you are saying, not a very permanent resident of a particular area. So in order to take care of all these so that they are not left out of the voter list, Bangladesh Election Commission decided that if anybody is living in a particular area, even for a week, and if someone else gives and validates that he is residing in this area for a month or so, they were registered.
We were discussing earlier, and you mentioned that two registration audits were conducted. Should I stop?
No.
Two registrations. So would you describe which bodies conducted these registration audits and what the purpose was?
Fine. There was one organization which was actually funded by DFID, and another was done through UNDP. So two survey. The first survey, actually it was when the registration process was on. We wanted to find out the credibility of the photo voter roll that we prepared. The other one was done once the registration was over, so the survey was done for the countrywide. In the first survey, only sample of three areas were taken, and the second survey, the samples from all over the country was taken. I think it's more than half of the upazilas, these samples were taken. In both the cases, our main aim was to find out the error type 1, is voters to list, and type 2, list to voters. If I explain little bit the type 1, voters to list, meaning that any voter who is left out to be registered in the list. So people had gone to each and every household of the sampled areas, and they have listed that who all are eligible to be voters, and thereafter they try to match with the list that we have in our office. In this case, the error was 1% plus minus. We tried to find out the reason, and it was found that basically people were either not available at their household when the registration was done, or they didn't turn up by themselves. Type 2 was list voters. In this case, the organization who carried out this survey, they were given the list from us. They had gone to households and tried to match over there. If anybody is listed but not present in the household, so in that type 2 errors, it was zero. The percentage of error was zero. So this was the credibility of our survey.
You mentioned one of the challenges early on was the procurement of supplies to conduct this exercise. Would you describe some of the ways that you went about procuring all the needed technology and equipment?
You understand that for such an enormous task, the logistics which was required, for example, we used more than 10,000 laptops, more than 10,000 webcams, then fingerprint scanners. We have imported more than 180,000 reams of, offset papers. So these are the few items that just I'm, mentioning about the quantity. So these were not available off the shelf. So this procurement process, we had to follow the procurement process, which is very much, defined by the government. So going through the tendering, selection of the, firms, credible firms for such a huge, supply of the items, it was really a very big challenge. At times, we took the help from the UNDP for direct procurement wherever we stuck up, because our aim was to complete the registration in a stipulated time. So we had gone ahead with that. So for that, if we needed some support from other organizations like UNDP for procurement, we sought their help as well. So this is how we, took care of the problem which we faced.
Now, how long did the entire registration process take from start to finish?
It was conceived sometime in April or May 2007. Then we conducted a pilot project in June 2007. And till then, actually, we didn't have our logistics available to us. However, in August, we carried out registration of 2 to 3 areas. And then maybe from full swing, registration we started sometime in December, because by then we had all our logistics at hand. So we completed it in August. Maybe you can, if you consider only this major portion of the registration, it is about 9 months. Otherwise, if you start from conceiving, from conception to the printing of the voter list, it was about it was about 1.5 years.
What were the challenges of working on such on this timetable?
it was too short a time to go for such a huge task. So that was the main challenge, because I considered that for conducting such a huge, you know, project, the time you need for planning is also I think it's more than what we have used.
I'm continuing my interview now with Brigadier Shahadat Hussain Chaudhry. I'd like to ask a little bit about the procurement of supplies that you had to undertake for the voter registration exercise. Would you talk about the requirements of the logistical requirements?
Thank you very much for a very relevant question. As a matter of fact, the logistics that was required for such a massive operation is quite vast. Just to give you an example, we needed about 10,000 plus laptops and similar number of the wave cameras and then fingerprint scanners. Then we had to import about 180,000 reams of papers, the offset papers, then computers, it's 500 plus, and then printers, the same number. So it's a huge number of the items that we had to procure, which were not, as a matter of fact, available off the shelf. And for that, we had to undergo a process defined by the government and following the procurement regulations. So that is also a quite, I would say, very stringent process to make this procurement. So it was quite tough.
And what were the sorts of options you considered in terms of where to get supplies from?
I mean, where these are available. Yeah. So actually, we looked through the internet where things can be made, where things are available. And then also, since the large procurement, so we had gone for tenders. So the vendors used to submit their papers, and from there we carried out the evaluation which meets our requirement.
Would you be able to talk about if there were any problems with the procurement process?
Yes, there was a problem, because as I said, that we had to follow the government procurement regulations. So at times you find that the procurement regulations, you know, this creates some problems in terms of getting the items in a time when it is required for you. So for example, in our case, our time was, you know, fixed when we had to finish this project activities. So if you cannot procure any single item within the stipulated time, so it hampers the overall progress of the project. So that is how it's a problem.
How did you handle this obstacle and work around it?
At times we had to take some risk going out of the box, and then we had to go for it. At times we found that our normal procedure, following our normal procedure, we couldn't procure, so we sought the help from UNDP. But we kept on going. We did it.
Were there any problems finding, since you were working on such a short time frame, finding the volume of supplies that you needed in those short amounts of time? Who was able to supply paper that quickly?
We found we got a good number of vendors, and for that maybe at times we had to use the personal links also, that who can supply, so that they also participate. More number of bidders, so better it is for us. So that is how we could overcome this problem.
Now, I believe you ran a pilot registration process in June of 2007. Why was that conducted? And
You know that such a huge, you know, activities, there was no ready-made solution. So naturally, to going to the, you know, mass collection of the data, so we thought that it was quite necessary to go for a pilot, to run a pilot. So that was done, basically to work out the modality, to test our, you know, the software and the modality also. We had to go for a pilot.
And this was done in Ghazipur?
That's right. This was done in Sripur of Ghazipur district. It's very close to Dhaka. Maybe it's about 1.5 hours drive from Dhaka.
And why was Sripur chosen as the location for the pilot?
Sripur was chosen because Sripur was a pojila where you had, you know, a bit touch of the urban as well as rural areas. So that is why the Sripur was chosen. Second other issue is that it was close to Dhaka so that we can monitor from Dhaka also.
And who was invited to this registration exercise?
I couldn't follow you. Who was...
Were donors invited to this exercise as well? To witness this?
Donors were always there. Donors were always there actually to witness the whole process, starting from the pilot till the last.
I see. And what were some of the changes you made based on information gathered during the registration exercise?
We did a bit of a fine-tuning of our modality, and then we had to update the software also to suit the requirement.
Could you offer some examples of problems that came up that you were able to change?
For example, that at times what we had, you see, we entered the data, you know, manually. So we found that there are a good number of mistakes. So what we did that we tried to reduce that manual entry of the informations. Instead, we tried to pick the informations from the drop-down list wherever it was possible. So this was one major changes which we carried out during our pilot project.
After the Sripur exercise, after what sort of lag was full registration launched?
See, when we had conducted our Sripur pilot project, till then actually we didn't have our logistics available. So the first registration we did small scale, that was in Rashahi and Khulna, sometime in August. So with a lag of say 2 months, but that was also not in full scale. But a full scale registration started sometime in end November, or you can say early December, because to procure our major equipments like laptops and other gadgets necessary for registration, we could procure it by end of November. So we could start full scale registration from December 2007.
And what sort of equipment were you using during the before the full registration phase began?
The quantity, actually, it is in terms of the quantity. Quantity was less, so we procured less number of the computers. I mean, the laptops and other gadgets. Maybe the number was around 1,000 plus, but our total procurement was about 10,000 plus. So the majority of the equipments were procured maybe sometime in end November.
And did you have to follow the same procedures to procure the 1,000 laptops for the pre-registration?
No, actually those 1,000 laptops were donated by different organizations, and remaining computers were procured by ourselves. So those were the donations, the 1,000 laptops, 1,000 plus laptops were donated by different organizations like different banks, like Dutch Bangla Bank, maybe Grameenphone, maybe Citicel. So they donated those laptops.
Was there an invitation to the community to make donations?
That's right, that's right.
And how was that made?
Yeah, that was done by Army.
Was it a newspaper ad or something they put
out? Not that way, it is through personal contact and links.
And then you mentioned after the Sripur, it was Rajshahi and Khulna districts. Between those and the full-scale registration, were there changes made again at this point?
Not a very major change, but maybe the fine-tuning only.
And how was the experience of registration different when it was conducted on the full scale in terms of security arrangements? Were they the same?
More or less following the same modality. Actually, that also, this time period gave us some preparation time also for deployment, and then picking up the data entry operators, enumerators, training them, developing the software to that scale. And then once the equipments were procured, so we had to configure those equipments. So that was, otherwise it was necessary. It's not that you get the equipments and then you deploy it in the field. So the equipment also had to prepare to meet the specific requirement for registration.
Who was hired to configure the equipment?
Yeah, there is none hired from outside. It was from the resource personnel from the armed forces, and a small number from the vendors who supplied the laptops.
I'd like to ask also a little bit about the funds for this project. How were the funds for this dispersed? What were the channels?
Where did you get the funds? It was a project of 60-40, you know, ratio. 60% was provided by our development partners, and 40% was provided by the government of Bangladesh. UNDP actually coordinated amongst all the development partners. And the major development partners were like DFID, and then European Union, and then possibly Switzerland, Denmark, as I remember.
Was there any trouble with funds coming, being received in a timely manner?
Not really. I think we got funds because everyone was very much concerned about it and very cooperative. So more or less we can say that we got the funds in time.
Were there any other aspects of the registration process that were particularly challenging? The time you mentioned is one factor, that you had a very short time frame to work with.
Yes. The other one was to reach the equipments to remotest corners, and then, as I told before, that there are certain areas where you cannot reach in all seasons. These are the changes, the challenges.
If you had to give advice to your counterpart in another country about a particular strategy that worked really well, what would you suggest people try?
Actually, you see, this is a process possibly, so this process was unique for Bangladesh. It's not exactly the same model can be replicated elsewhere. Maybe a bit of, you know, customization would be required, you know, to meet that particular country's requirement. For example, in our case, it was armed forces who was, you know, volunteered to do all these things. So who is going to work in place of armed forces in other countries? Like in our case, our religious teachers were, you know, they were utilized to motivate in the conservative, you know, ladies, women. But what would be done in case it is done in some other countries? So, you know, it will depend upon the lot of factors on a particular, on that, of that particular country. Exactly the same model cannot be replicated in total.
What are the strengths of the armed forces that you think made the registration process smooth?
The professionalism, then it's discipline, it's managing capability, say organization, and then controlling the, you know, those who are involved in the process. Honesty, sincerity, they worked around the clock during that period. So these are the major ones worth mentioning.
And for how many months or weeks were army personnel deployed to registration zones?
How many?
Were they deployed, were army personnel deployed to registration zones for the entire period of registration?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The armed forces were deployed right from, say, pilot project till the end of it. What they have done, say, at a particular time, one upajala of a particular district registration was carried out. So, meaning that we have total 64 districts. So, at a time, minimum 64 upajala's registration was on. So, army was deployed in that particular area. So once one upajila is over, then switched over to another upajila of a particular district. So they moved out from this upajila to the other one. So this is how they were deployed during the whole period of registration.
And was it the same team that would move, or would it be a fresh team?
Yes, the same team moved from one place to the other.
Why did they decide to keep the same teams intact?
Really because of the paucity of the manpower, because you didn't have so extra manpower. Whatever army could spare, the same people worked, in all places. This is one. Number two was experience also. You see, if someone has done once, so that particular team was experienced. So I think that expertise was quite useful in registering in the second or the third place. They could do better.
Could you also talk a little bit about the kind of incentives given to people involved in the registration process to do their jobs well?
Okay, fine. If you actually take into account the incentives that was given for the registration purpose, I would say this is very much insignificant. But you may ask me that why people did so then. As a matter of fact, the financial incentives which was there, it is, you cannot consider this to be an incentive. But say, for example, army was, you see, they volunteered to do that. And as regards the other persons who were involved in it, they also got very insignificant amount of money, but then people were interested. They were very much enthusiastic in doing it, maybe out of their nationalistic feeling.
There were also payment schemes for the enumerators. Would you describe those, how they were paid?
Actually, we paid the enumerators for each voter. A particular amount was, that was allotted for each voter. It is for the enumerators, it is for the data entry operators, this is for the proofreaders. For everyone, it is on account of the number of voters.
And was there a threshold limit set that you can't do more than a certain amount per day?
As a matter of fact, it was not done so, but then certainly if someone does a very high number, we think that it's likely errors would be more. So that was checked that way.
And you had mentioned that the auditing that was done by two different agencies.
Right. One was by the DFID, the other one is by UNDP.
And were they invited to do the audit, or did they choose to?
They did it at their own.
Well, I'd like to ask if, in addition to what we've discussed here, there are other issues you would like to raise.
No, you see, I'm very happy to be involved with this project because this is one of this type, and each Bangladeshi citizen who are above 18, they now possess an identity card for the first time of its type. So this is a project since I've been involved with it since its beginning. Now I have already completed the project, so it's a great deal of satisfaction that I have. And then it has other aspects, like I particularly feel that because of this registration, it's not only that we have completed the voter roll and then we got the ID card, but I look at it in a different perspective also. Like, say, 80 million people, they have touched the laptops all by themselves. So the laptops were exposed to them. And good number of children, those who were, those who were present during that registration process, so they also saw this particular process, and then I call it that they had been watching the functions of this magic tool for them. So maybe this is going to have an impact, the long term impact, in the minds of the people, in proliferating the ICT. So this is a great achievement, I would say, that outcome of amongst the other benefits of the this project. Besides, since we picked up the data entry operators from across the country, from the remotest corners of the country, so we trained about more than 100,000 data entry operators, maybe this will instill a great deal of confidence amongst them that they can do a data entry operation. So I would look at it that way, that maybe as our Prime Minister has declared that we are going to have a digital Bangladesh in 2021. So maybe this is going to help to a great extent. So I'm very happy to be with this project.
That's wonderful. Just a quick question about the training of the 100,000 data operators you said. Which institute trained them?
It is Bangladesh Army who trained them.
The Army. And the Electoral Training Institute, what role
did they play? They trained for the enumerators. Enumerators and other supervisors, assistant registration officers.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time and for participating in this interview.
Thank you very much.